Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, Matthew's account words it a little differently, that he fasted for 40 days and then he was tempted by Satan. Kaufman said that there was a translation problem translating from the Greek, and really that this is what Luke wrote and came across, but it didn't come across that way here in the English translations from Luke, which it sounds like that Jesus was tempted by Satan for the full 40 days. But Kaufman said that that's not what happened, that Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then that's when Satan came to him, when Jesus was in his most physically weakened condition, to try to tempt him instead of being a marathon 40 days temptation. Verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. See, this is the first starting of this. He's questioning and wanting Jesus to prove that he's the Son of God and that he's the Messiah. And Satan already knows this because God has already proclaimed from heaven that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Messiah. So this is where the deception starts. Verse 4, but Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay, there's number one, easily dispatched by Jesus. Now number two, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, the thought of the commentators on this is that all these kingdoms was like in a vision form, and there's no high mountain that you can see every kingdom in all the world from one location. So this was probably showed him in a vision all the kingdoms of the world. In verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Okay, now, number one, we know that all authority on heaven and earth was given to Jesus, not to Satan. Now, any authority that Satan has was given to him not from God, but from man by being disobedient to God and being unrighteous. And that is the only authority, because we know that Satan rules the world, but it's because of unrighteousness, not from anything that God, power that God has given to Satan. So basically, this is a deception because he does not have all authority, but there is some truth due to the unrighteousness of man that that's the only power that he has. And also, Kaufman's comment on this also is a follow-up to when Satan leaves Jesus in verse 13, and he departs for until an opportune time, which Kaufman said that obviously is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is in a time of weakness, and he is also arrested. And Jesus alludes to this when to the elders and the chief priest, and he said that this is the power of darkness. So he alludes to this power. There is power that Satan has, but it was given to him by unrighteousness and unrighteous men, which were, in that case, it was the chief priests and the scribe and the elders. Verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Okay, so now verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So these three passages that Jesus answers with, it is written, it is written, it is written, easily dispatches Satan here. And now on this, as far as this pinnacle, since God had the temple destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman Empire, we don't know where this high point of the temple is, but Josephus did write about a high point. He said it was on the south side of the temple, and he said that the land formation fell down. It was like on a cliff or something, and it went way down, and he said from the top you could, I guess it was so high and maybe recessed a little, but you could not see the bottom. It was so far down. And anyway, Kaufman said very likely this is what, this was a well-known formation there, and this is what Satan used to try to tempt him. And as a result, Kaufman's other comment on this was, on high places, anytime that you have tourists and things on a high mountain or something, he said nearly every time, or even on a high building, there's going to be some kind of a rail or something to keep people from going over. He said, because there is a temptation that people want to jump off. And so he mentioned that this obviously is some kind of a more natural inclination that people have on high places is to jump off. And so we've built in protections many places because of that. Then in verse 13, and we will close with this. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And here, after this, Luke does not include this, but God sent angels to now minister unto Jesus to help strengthen him from this time. And in the very same way than in the Garden of Gethsemane, God sent angels to minister unto Jesus at that time too. So both times of weaknesses, God, after Jesus passes the test, God sends angels to minister unto Jesus. So I thought that was an interesting correlation there. Well, at this time we will end here, and Lord willing, we'll pick up next week on verse 14. And at this time we'll stand and sing number